Stefan. Since mid-80s, well, maybe in the 70s. But biggest breakthrough came by a series of works by Faber. And since then, a lot of things has been known, especially about the vacuum structure, although there are certain things, many other things, which are not known. And so this is a typical example of his works through the QCD. And depending on the relation of its color and flavors, there are many interesting physics in each of them. And of course, for the input one, there is with other types, like there is with argent, have been studied, and there are a lot of other interesting aspects. And people are doing continuously studying these kinds of models. And but there are also interesting aspects in lower dimensions. So forces by charges is allowed only in 4D and lower. And in three dimensions, certain aspects are also studied. And in 1997, people like me or Amin and others studied it. And also 2D, 2.2 theories, especially by Witten's linear sigma model, these 2D, 2.2 theories have been discussed, studied extensively. And especially in abelian theories, many things have been studied in relation to string theory, string backgrounds. But not so much is not studied but for non-abelian gauge theories. So that's one more. Another motivation is string theory. So if you are interested in compact patients to 4D n=2 or n=1 or n=0 theories, there are many ways to do it. And one recently functional way is type 2 string theory on collabial manifold with orientables and B-banks, if you are interested in n=1. For n=2, it's just collabial manifolds. Or actually, this collabial manifold is actually a very special case. This is really a small region in the totality of moduli space of compactifications. So this internal space should be replaced by, in more general, by just 2D, 2.2 superconformed field theories with C hat equal 3. C hat is normalized central charge. C over 3. So it counts the number of degree of freedom, and it is the complex dimension of the target space if there's a geometric picture. So what we want to know is a variety of ends. If you would like to know the totality of string vacuum, you need to know variety of ends. And also, if you're interested in one vacuum, we need to know the totality of orientables, deep lanes, fluxes, including, especially with the case where there's no geometric feature. So, that's an important question. And in the past, and also, we want to study in detail in some way, to a certain extent. And in the past, for that, we need some models. In the past, as models for M, we were mainly talking about hypersurfaces in projective space, like quintic, or hypersurfaces in toric manifolds, or complete intersections of hypersurfaces in toric manifolds. And these are infrared fixed points of abelian gauge theories. But course, infrared fixed points of non-oblongate stairs should be also be studied, but not much has been done. So this is the theory. Are there questions?
Will you show us an example for Columbia that is at the fixed point of the non-oblongate stair?
Mm-hmm. So this is the plan of the talk. We have many results, so I just wanted to show the results first. And if the time permits, derivation. So the first is, these are related among each other. And so first is the computational Wittgen index for supersymmetric QCD with SUK edge group. And the next is infrared dynamics of SUK gauge series with massless fundamental chiral complex. And then in relation to string theory, and we study UK linear sigma models and find many interesting aspects which are absent in Abelian gauge series, Abelian linear sigma models. Then the final result is the what we name Glob transition, which is a non-abelian version of something like Glob transition.
Why Glob?
I will tell you, but G is after F. Glob. And G is the first character of something called Grassmann. So, yeah, this. So while we were discussing about the title, I started this work with David a long time ago, and recently we met each other in Amsterdam, and then tried to finish it. And while talking, we talked about the title, but there are many audience of the discussion, and this title decision was like a public decision. we first thought maybe non-abelian glob is the right title, but Dave Morrison just refused. Okay, let me start with showing the result of the Wittgen index. So I consider Wittgen index, I consider supersymmetric QCD with gauge group SUK with just n fundamentals. No, so this is not like ordinary SQCD in four dimensions where you have this Q and Q tilde, fundamental and underfundamental, because that's needed because of the cancel of this gauge anomaly. But in two dimensions, there's nothing wrong of just having n fundamentals. So that's the system we study. Okay, so this is not like for the theories, but half of the matter is common. But the motivation of studying such SQCD came actually from this study of UK linear sigma model, where you have a relation to string patterns. So that's the model we are going to just study here. So SUK is n fundamental chiral complex, nothing else. So even such a simple system has a non-compact moduli space of Bacula, Higgs branch and Coulomb branch. Classically, Higgs branch is the number of fields minus the dimension of the gauge group, so nk minus k squared plus 1. And the Coulomb branch is the rank of the gauge group, so it's k dimension. Oh, sorry, k minus 1. K minus 1. K minus 1. Okay. Because this is S. So this is non-compact. And also in two dimensions, each point, so this is the space of classical vacuum, namely the zero energy configuration of the potential scalar potential. But in two dimensions, because of this infrared divergence, each point does not give you mass, does not give you a vacuum, but this just gives you a target space. And so we are going to study this non-compact sigma model, and that is, there's no, you expect no normalizable ground states, and therefore this study of Witten index is tricky, or in worst case, it'll be fine. So we have changed the theory by adding twisted masses for the fundamentals. So the twisted mass was introduced actually by Newton himself. This is to, so SQCD has this just phase rotation symmetry, global symmetry, and you just gauge it and leave the lowest component of this so-called super fuel strength. So this is the vector super field, and this is the super density. And it has complex scalar in some D can contain auxiliary D field and the curvature and the gauging on. And you just leave this value and then decouple this gauged E1 symmetry. So this will change this theory, give you a master for this fundamentals without breaking the gauging, SGK gauging. Okay, so this you can do, and if you add this, then classically Higgs branch is lifted by, of course, by if you have a field has mass, then this, it won't have any modulized space of vacuum. So Higgs branch is lifted, and it turns out that the Coulomb branch is also lifted for generic mass. For special mass, actually, some of the Higgs branch remains, but if you choose mass, twisted masses to be generic, then this is gone. And at the same time, for that generic mass, Coulomb branch is also gone. And you're left with a finite number of normalizable ground states. Okay, so, and then you can count the ground states, and this is the result. So the Witten index is the n, the number I call n k comma n, which is defined as the number of n roots of ET, k n roots of ET, omega 1, 2, omega k, which are distinct and whose sum is non-vacuum. And modulo scaling and permutation. Scaling is simply just uniform scaling by another n root of ET, and permutation is permutation. So this is the result. And for example, I want to show you the examples. For example, if k is less than n, you cannot choose k distinct n result. If n is less than k, then you cannot choose k distinct n result unity. So this is absent. So this is zero. And also, n is equal to k, you can have a unique choice of n, choice of distinct nth root of ET, okay, if n is equal to k, but they sum up to zero. So this is, again, not allowed, and that's zero. So I said this Witten index is zero if n is between 1 and k. And within index is 1, there's a unique choice of such k distinct n-fold of unity, if sum is non-zero. up to scaling and up to fermentation, if any sort of cluster. And I just show you the result of this number for low values of any cancers.
Can you write the generating function for these numbers?
I don't know.
Do you know the large order behavior, large K, large S?
Yeah, roughly. I can show you this paper. Yeah, but roughly it is. Yeah, roughly it is. Some number. This number is when there is k distinct n root of VNT that sum up to zero. In some cases, you don't have it. So this can be regarded as small. So this is zero. So this, yeah, this is also easy to understand. So by rescaling, say you can set omega 1 equal to 1. So you are left with deciding omega 2 through omega k. So we have to decide k minus 1 of them. Out of remaining n minus 1 remaining choices of n to the remaining. So that will make it. But you have to divide by k because you can do the rescaling so that omega 2 is made into 1 and this changes. Omega 3 is made into 1, so there are k rescaling. Distinct risk. And this is subtraction is to make sure that the sum of omega 1 to omega k is not much.
So probably if n and k are co-prime, then you don't have the structure.
Not necessarily. So for example, suppose k is a five, okay, then five can be, so we have only to choose omega 1, plus omega 2, plus omega 3, plus omega 4, plus omega 5, not 0. But it can happen that this vanishes.
No, but I'm saying k and n in co-prime.
Yeah, yeah.
So n is n 7.
N is 7
here.
N has to be bigger than that. I believe there is something down here. 1 minus 1 and times something. And right, okay, good. Okay, so can for example 6 or maybe 12.
Okay. So n will also have to be prime, sorry.
Yeah. N will have to be prime. But if n is not prime, then you can trip off some combination that makes it vanish.
So for n prime there is no extra term, so you
have the right. Okay. So this counting is not so simple. Okay. One comment is that the fact that this is vanishing between n 1 through k, 1 through color, reminds us of this 40 equals 1 theories, where it was 1 through k minus 1. So I have like an isobutyl potential, but it's unlike that case. In that case, if you add masses to all the fundamentals, then the low energy theory is just super mils, and you know there are nc masses. But this is unlike that case. Even if you have this is actually for the massive case, and this there is no Brown state. And you can see how the Brown state behaves. So the vacua are actually localized at points on the Coulomb branch. And the location depends on the twisted masses. For example, if you consider equal mass, equal twisted masses, they are all in tilt, then this vacua are localized at such. Sigma for the SUK gauge group. But from the D-term, from a potential constraint, it has to be diagonalizable. So it has to be of this form. And if you actually look at the effective, super effective potential on the Coulomb branch, sigma diagonal eigenvalues should be of this precise form, where omega A is this omega. I will, if I have time, show how to get this. So if you, as you see, if you send, say, n tilde infinity, then this location just moves away to infinity. So just gone. So this suggests that there won't be any Suzy ground states in pure super n mils or SUK gauge group. Okay, this is like 3D case, which was studied after Harvey Whitman a long time ago, and also in 1970 by Berkeley and New Jersey groups. So you can also have this analog of twisted masses, so-called real mass. Then the vacuum structure is like this. You have branches of Coulomb branch and Higgs branch. And the main branch closest to the non-Abelian, enhanced non-Abelian gauge symmetry is actually lifted by a supersymmetric, like Harvey Whitman supersymmetric, but the other branches remain supersymmetric. But if you send the distance from here to here is like mi tilde, the magnitude of real mass, if you send mi tilde infinity, then this just moves away to infinity. So it's like that.
Do you see it as a some kind of a runaway vacuum when you plug it into the potential?
So if you look at the potential is, I think, standing, non-zero at infinity. So that's why I can claim that it's for finite twisted masses. These are localized at around some point in the Coulomb branch. There's no, I don't think there's a runaway. Oh. Oh, sorry. No. Actually. There is actually this. Depending on n and k, I will tell you in the second subject, and depending on n and k, the potential actually goes down at infinity. For some n and k, it just stands. But for some n and k, it goes down.
Okay. One other way of reformulating this question is whether you get some non-perturbative contributions to the superpotential, just like in the three-dimensional case.
Uh-huh.
And it's correct? So in two dimensions, you do get non-perturbative?
No, you don't get. Everything can be actually studied perturbatively within this case. If, for example, if you want to use the dual description, like mirror or T-dual description, then that would be very important. But within this description, the super potential will be just obtained by just the perturbation. Actually, it's just from one loop.
And table in the three-dimensional case, mm-hmm. what classifies as the different Coulomb vacuum branches? You have several Coulomb branches.
Yeah, there are several. So this is one example. It's like usually it's like branches.
So what is the order of biological intensity that there are? That you are on one or a different one?
What's
the way to distinguish?
Right, so this is parameterized by, so I'm writing the rank one case,
okay. And
this direction is the scale, the value of the scalar component of the vector node.
Yes.
And this direction is zero to the vector node.
Yes.
That is the order.
Well, basically what I meant was that do you have disparate branches?
Yes.
And if so, then how do you distinguish? What is the order parameter that tells you that you are on one or a different one, or another one?
Some discrete data that distinguishes. There should be, but I'm not aware of this. Except that you have this, the value of this scalar component has to be within this window, and that distinguishes it. But there's, I don't know.
In this particular case, you can refer to the sign of there is a Z2. So if you look at this moduli space of the Higgs bunch, there is a Z2 that distinguishes between those two bunches.
Which one here?
This one, yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's the sign, or maybe the angle, which is either between 0 and pi, or pi and 2 pi.
Sorry, which thing? Sorry.
So the Higgs bunch is divided. What you said, right, this Higgs bunch is divided into two parts. And these two parts are telling you whether you are to the right or to the left.
Uh-huh.
This, and so that's a Z2 parameter which you
which you can measure as a suspension value or something, perhaps.
Well, in this particular example, all of these branches become equivalent with the infrared. There is, in fact, some Z3.
I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you can help me. Okay, anyway. So this is the behavior of vacuum. Okay. So this is, maybe I hope I have time to explain this. How do we get this? But let me just show the result, another result. And this is about this infrared dynamics of SVK gauge theory with massless fundamentals, and massless fundamentals. So SVK gauge group is simple, and therefore trace of one elemental of the Lyapunov graph is there for any representation, any finite dimensional representation. Okay, so this trace of the curvature is there. And the trace of the curvature is the axiom of the anomaly, if you have a Fermion, and that is vanished. So there is no axial anomaly, and therefore you have left and right independent, if classically the system has left and right independent R symmetry, or vector and axial R symmetry, that's there in quantum theory. And we can actually learn about infrared fixed point by studying the chiral. For example, we can study the central charge of the infrared fixed point by just summing the U1 charge, vector U1 charge, vector U1 R charge of Dirac Fermion. For example, if you have a superpotential, which is a degree D polynomial in variable V, variable V is the variant operators, which are the only gauge invariants, if you have N masses, N fundamentals for SEK. If you have under fundamentals, you can have meson and also anti-variant. But since I'm just considering fundamentals only. Only the variance are the case. So you can consider only the trivial potential value of the variance. And suppose this is homogeneous in degree, homogeneous of degree D in variance. Okay, then it fixes the R charge. So the R charge of the trivial potential has to be 2, and therefore, because this is degree D, R charge of variant has to be D over 2, and variant is phi to the power of k, so the R charge of this fundamental phi is 2 over dk. And the central charge is simply mk, this is the number of phi's. So A is the gauge index, and R is the flavor index, k times n. And 1 minus 2 over dk is the R charge, minus the R charge of the film. This shift by 1 is, of course, this is the R charge for the scalar component, so therefore the R charge for the vector, for the spinner component is the shift by 1. And this is the contribution from Gaugino, so this is the central charge. And so, not just this, you could also study other aspects, like chiral ring of infrared principle. Yes, the spectrum of chiral operators, just from studying this chiral ring with respect to, say, Q bar plus. You can study whether there is an able to superconformal in this chiral ring.
In this case, there is no ambiguity in the determining the object.
No, in this case, no. It's fixed by the system.
Did you also look at cases in which it is ambiguous?
In the class of examples like this or W equal to zero, there is no ambiguity. Actually, W equal to zero has this Coulomb Higgs branch. Maybe, yes, I will show you. But in each branch, the R charge cannot rotate this scalar field. So that fixes this R charge. OK. So let's call this, sometimes I will mention later, so let's call this C of D, this infrared fixed point, C sub k comma n of G sub D. So this depends on the polynomial and also this data change and n. Okay, so we can study this theory, but there is a serious problem. The theory could be singular at the origin, phi equals zero, by the presence of non-compact Coulomb branch. If there's a non-compact flat direction, then the ground state won't be normalizable. So singular meaning here, the non-normalizableness of the ground state. And so the Coulomb branch is classically dimensioned k minus 1. And the Higgs branch is there if there's no suitable potential. So in that case, there's another non-compactness from this Higgs branch. But there's an extra non-compactness from the Coulomb branch at the origin. But if there's a generic suitable potential, Higgs branch is just lifted, classically. So, but still you have a possible non-compactness at the Coulomb branch, at the origin, coming from the existence of the Coulomb branch. So that's the worry, but actually, surprisingly, it's not always there. The Coulomb branch is not always there. And so in some cases, it's indeed there. So if there exists n distinct nth roots of unities, k distinct nth roots of unities, omega 1 to omega k, which sum up to zero, then there is actually a Coulomb branch, actually just one dimensional Coulomb branch in this direction, determined by this n, k distinct n roots of it. So if there could be, depending on k and n, there could be, so in that case, yes, there is a Coulomb branch, and therefore the theory is singular. And it could be that there are several such k-distinct entries of Nt. Then for each of them, there is a one-dimensional group. So the picture is like this.
Theory is singular by one loop effect or classically?
The singular meaning, so no, non-perturbed singular. So because there's a flat direction, so there's the ground state will not be normalized. So this vacuum just state just spreads. So if there is such a Coulomb branch, then that's not good. Although you can study the singular CFD itself by itself, and that may be an interesting subject. For example, this P of 4.4 KBT is a good example. And we are suggesting that there could be more interesting example from this non-aggregation. So the throat should be somewhere, and there should be some singular CFD, non-compact CFD. But if there is no such k-distinct entries of Unity, the Coulomb branch is absent. Okay. Coulomb branch is lifted, and the theory is non-singular. So that's the claim. So this is what happens if you send. So in the previous study of Whitten index, we have set omegas and not omega twisted masses to be non zero. So twisted masses to be non zero. So the vacua are localized. And actually, the behavior infinity of the pseudo-potential is determining whether there is such a singularity. So if MIs are sent to zero, then it just comes in. But the pseudo-potential could be, say, zero in some of the directions. And this is the picture I'm showing. But in some, depending on k and n, there's no such flat direction, and everything is localized at the origin. So in that case, the theory is non-singular. Okay, other questions? Yes?
In the lead application, so you probably have said this, but how does the twist pass look like? I think,
okay. So it's like, so you're asking how does it look like in the Lagrangian? Yeah. So the potential, let me just write down the scalar potential. So there is this the standard commutator squared potential, and the V-term potential. About the S case D. And also a term like this. So this is the twisted mass. So it's like sigma minus mi I sum over mi tilde. That's the strict twisted mass. So usually you don't have this, and this. So I remind you that this 2.2 theory in two dimensions is dimensional reduction of for n equal to 1 theory, and sigma, so dimensional reduction has the gauge field in four dimensions. So this part will give you sigma. Sigma is like A2 plus A3. And this is just a gauge, remains just a gauge field. And in four dimensions, of course, there's this this includes this A1 or A2 squared, A2 phi squared plus A3 phi squared. And that will give you this sigma phi squared. And pretty much just shifts.
Can I ask you, are we right in terms of the superspace interval in some way?
Superspace expression, I don't know.
Oh, yes. And also, about what's the question? Mm-hmm. You said that when you have a non-compact, when we have a non-compact, upper branch, we have some similarity in the theory.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me if when we come with the one quantity, we will see the similarities?
For example, the correlation function of sigma. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Capello, I have a question about this structure of Hartree. Are they finite distance away on the moduli space, or they are separated by some field?
You mean this vacuum?
Yeah.
Finite distance.
So somehow, because of this spreading, they overcome the field? Because of the spread, they overcome the field?
Sorry.
So you have a spread which is of the order of the twisted mass, I guess, right?
A spread meaning the distance.
Oh, and what determines the size of the wave function?
I think it's determined by the gauge coupling, which is mass dimension mass.
And there's no fault, you say.
The case with twisted mass. No. Of course, So as I will tell you. So in the analysis, I exclude the region near the origin where you do have some throat. And actually, in the non-abelian case, it's very bad. It's because the coefficient goes negative, like in 3D. So we have to exclude that. You don't know what happens here.
I see. So for n goes, all masses go to zero, there may be some issues with the fullness.
Right. So, yeah. No. There's another thing which is important. Here you go. So this is not the location of the twisted mass. Twisted mass is somewhere else. We can show that these ground states are away from these twisted mass. There will be a throat for each location of the twisted mass. Okay? But, and also the non-abelian enhancement point. But these vacua are away from all of them. So you are centrally, they are centrally located. So this I will answer. Right? So depending on the time. Okay. So let me just comment on one example. Let's take n is equal to k. In that case, there's no k distinct n roots of unity whose sum is zero. There's k plus one n roots distinct n roots of unity whose sum is zero. And that, by using that, if they are distinct, this is equal to minus the other one. So it's not zero. Okay. So that means that the theory is regular. There's no Coulomb bunch. Coulomb bunch is lifted. And let's consider, let's say, a supercentric QCD where there is no super potential. Then the Higgs branch is spanned by the baryon operators, n baryon operators, and it is, as a complex manifold, it's just the same as c to the n. But as a Riemannian manifold, it's just it's a comma. Classical, you can analyze the classical X branch, and it's just a comma over the sphere of dimension 2 and X1. So there's a conical singularity. And the singularity is associated with this elimination of SUK gauge model set that becomes massless at the origin. But because in the quantum theory there's no Coulomb branch is lifted, so you expect the gauge model set to be massive, and then therefore there won't be any singularity. So this phi, the origin, should be smoothed out. And eventually, because this is positively closed, eventually flows to just flat C to the n. So we expect that this SUK n equal to k, the SUK SQ CD with play for k plus 1 will flow to just free superconformal field theory with C hat equal to n. And if you have a suitable potential, again, this by the same reason, the infrared limit should be an infrared limit of the Lambert-Ginzburg model of n independent variables that come from these directions, because this will be just a good variable of the low energy theory.
And also, these are the generators of the sky
origin? Yeah. So that's actually important, and it will be used soon. Okay, so that's the example of this use of the non-singularity of certain k and n. Okay. Now let's now switch here to another type of class of theories, which is the UK gauge. And UK gauge linear signal models. So let's take, for example, just n fundamental from UK and P, and one field P, which has charge negatively charged only under the center of UK, so charge, so the mathematical is just determinant minus D. Then you can have a gauge invariant suitable potential like P times G D G degree D polynomial in baryon speed. Baryon is charged under the center by D times some D times the one, and this P, the P transformation of P cancels. So this is gauge. And because the center of U1 and UK is U1, you have one Eulerian transformer and one theta transformer, which is usually combined with this complex term. Now, if so, this is a theory, and there is actually and the character of the low energy theory depends very much on the value of R. If phi Lyapunov corresponds to R, when R is positive, phi by the D term, so that in this new case you have R here, minus R here, and actually there is this D minus D P square, and there is similar twisted mass term. I don't consider twisted mass here. This, and also similar term for P, trace sigma minus trace sigma P, D trace sigma P. So if R is positive, phi must have maximum rank k. Okay, that will break UK gauge field completely. And the low energy theory is simply nonlinear sigma model on the bottom of this potential, which is just the space of phi configuration of phi's. Phi phi dagger is R times the identity, and also GDB, this polynomial vanishes. And then modulo this gauge. And this is simply the hypersurface in the Grassmann 1994 GKN, defined by this polynomial. So the Grassmann 1994 is the Grassmann 1994 is the space of k dimensional subspaces in say C to n. So this is say spun by some k orthonormal vectors in C to n. Modulo the basis change among the orthonormal vectors. So this is like a D-term equation. D-term equation. And dividing by UK is also here. So it's, if you ignore this condition, it's just Grassmannian. And if you include this equation, it's a hypersurface in the Grassmannian. So that's the character of the theory at R positive. At R positive, the theory at low energies, the theory is nonlinear sigma model on this manifold, which I denote x sub k, n, g of d, the hypersurface in Grassmann.
Do you know how to compute the Euler characteristic?
It's a well-developed cohomology theory of the Grassmannian, just like in projective space, atomic gravity, and then C to T. Okay.
And it's still that when it is the Witten index again?
Hmm?
The Euler characteristic is the.
It's the Witten index. In any nonlinear sigma, superspecific nonlinear sigma, other numbers, the Witten index. Okay. So R is negative, then P, by this P term equation, P is non zero. Okay. R is negative. To make it zero, P is zero, a non-zero. So that will break UK gauge group to a subgroup with determinant, subgroup of L and G with determinant with the D's power is 1. So the determinant is D's groups of UK. So let's call it G. G is just an extension. G includes SUK, of course, determinant is 1, but not just that, there are other elements at the center. So it's an extension of ZD by SUK. But the essential continuous part is just SUK. And if you take our negative infinity limit, this U1 dynamics, just U1 part, just decouples. And you're left with essentially with SUK gauge theory, with just n fundamentals, modulo this extra ZD. So it's the CFD, C sub K, comma N, ZD, G sub D, or this group will improve.
Does D have any relation with K or L?
D? No, you can choose any. Okay, but the actually this linear sigma model flows depending on the relation of actual D and L. And you can read that by just looking at the one loop bear function for the Fourier cross factor. This is this. Okay. So this is depending on the relation of N and D, R runs from positive infinity to negative or stays there, doesn't run, or negative infinity to positive. So if D is n, it doesn't run. So R and theta is a genuine parameter of the theory, so it will give us one complex dimensional moduli space of theories. And so R positive, it is a nonlinear sigma model of this hypersurface of the Grassmannian. In this case, this hypersurface is a Calabrian line. And at R negative infinity, it is this overflow CFT, which could be singular or non-singular depending on this value of k and n. If there's a came distinct and through sublinguine advance with some matches, then it is similar. And if not, then it is non-similar. And in addition, in the middle of this modular space, there are n, k from n. This is the same as the Witten index of SVK QCD with n massive drivers. There are singularities as many as n, as many as that Witten index in the middle. Okay. And if d is less than n, then R runs from positive infinity to negative infinity. So that's theory just defines an R, shows an RG flow from non-linear sigma model on the hypersurface, which is a positive Ricci curvature, so it's called final hypersurface, to at low energy flows to this over 4 CFT. And this actually, this theory also has this finite number of massive back here on the Coulomb branch.
So can I add on?
Yes.
So when you hear this, that the that orbital is singular or non-singular, you're talking about the geometry or the CFT?
CFT.
CFT,
yes. That's okay, actually a warning. Geometric picture exists only here. Okay? Away from this, you don't have any geometry.
But the issue is, if the orbital acting by a fixed point.
All right, the orbital, that's right. Orbital group acts on the field, right? And the fixed point is at the, I think, at the origin. But this is not from this, singularity is not from the orbital. So this is orbital of CFT. So if the CFT is regular, non-singular, orbital is, of course, non-singular. If the CFT is singular, then the orbital is singular. So this singularity is not coming from the overfolding, but from this theory CFT itself. Okay.
Have you gained any information about this singular CFT?
Hmm?
Can you come up with some new information about this singular CFT itself?
By this embedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, not necessarily singular. Yes, you do obtain some information about this CFT, whether or not it is singular.
Is it singular if the B field is zero? What was your criterion for being non-singular?
Right, it's... yeah, it's similar to that. It's... right. If you consider a similar model like QED with, say, charge 1, 1, minus 1, minus 1. Oh, no, no, charge 1, 1, 1, minus 3. Then, I don't know, this point is, yes, overfold point with non-trivial leaf. So, which is just free overfold theory, which is non-single. But there's another point, one point in the middle, which is indeed single. So, it's an analog to that. Are there other questions? Okay, if d is larger than n, then r runs from negative to positive. So it describes the flow from the orbital CFT to this nonlinear sigma model on the hypersurface. And this theory also has a bunch of massive vacuum in the Coulomb branch. And this is consistent if you look at the central charge. So we have computed the central charge of this CFT, which is the same as if you take the orbital, which is this, in a different way of writing, it's this. But this part is the same as the dimension of the target space of this, of the hypersurface, plus this something times 1 minus n over d. So 1 minus n over d is 0 for this case. So these two central charges are agreed as it should, as they should.
Aren't you dealing with the UK?
Yeah, we are talking about UK.
So the dimension should be nk minus k squared, right? Not
minus 1 comes from hypersurface. Grassmannian has, this has dimension nk minus k. As you can see, this is nk and k. Minus 1 is coming from the hyperspace. Okay? The previous, maybe this is confusing because the previous expression was nk 1 minus 2 by uk minus k squared plus 1 because su k. But I have made it into minus 1 plus 2. And I combine this, and then combine this and this to get that. So anyway, so this is saying that this, say n is dV, then they have the same central charge. If n is larger than d, then this is negative. That means this dimension is larger than this central charge, as it should. The central charge should decrease. And d is less than d, then this is positive. So dimension should be smaller than the central charge. System. And you can say something, duality relations for the less than n using this algebra picture, using the fact that these two Grassmannians, if you replace k by n minus k, it's the same thing. It's just that if you go to the dual space, then you get the other Grassmannian. And using that, you read the duality relation among these CFTs. So the final topics is this. This is the actual motivation of this work. There was a mathematical conjecture by a mathematician called Rodman. He conjectured some example where in one complex scalar Bernstein space, there are two large volume compact Calabrian lists. And there was no such example, and I wanted to understand this. And I found that it's easily, at least one side of the Calabrian, one Calabrian, the first Calabrian can be easily engineered by a UK linear sigma model. So this is U2 linear sigma model with 7 fundamentals and 7 depth inverse representations. And I just construct the pseudo tensor, so which is cubic, linear in P and quadratic in phi. So if AIJK is anti-symmetric in JK, you can write it this way. So A of P, this combination A of P serves as a mass matrix for these phis. And when R is positive, just like in the previous example, it defines you a Calabrian nonlinear sigma model on a Calabrian 794 in the Grassmannian G27. This is 10-dimensional Grassmannian. The number of equations is 7, coming from the 7 p's. So 10 minus 7 is 3, so it's a 3-4. And it is Calabrian, because if you use this, look at this, then you see that there's no axial. Okay, when R is negative, P is non-zero, but the same argument. P must be non-zero. And therefore, U2 is broken to SU2. And P's span CP6, because divided by the U1 part of the gauge group. So what you have at low energies is the SU2 gauge theory with 7 fundamentals. Fibroid over this CP6 span by P with varying mass matrix A of P. So that's what you have at low energies at R negative region. And the character of the low energy theory very much depends on the rank of the mass matrix. So this mass matrix is 7 times 7 anti-symmetric, so it can have rank even only. It can have 0, 2, 4, and 6. But 0 and 2 are not allowed, absent actually, if these coefficients A, I, J, K are generic. So you have to consider only rank 4 and rank 6 workers. In the rank 6 workers, the effective or mass-less labor is 7 minus 6, which is 1. and rank 4 locus, the mass transfer fiber is just 3. And if you look at this argument, look at this analysis of Britain index for this SQCD, then the fact that Britain index is 0 for fiber 1 suggests that there is no normalizable ground state for SQCD with massless fiber, with one massless fiber. So so the energy, the ground state energy in the region where A of P is 1.6, maximum rank, will be positive. So the low energy dynamics should localize on the rank 4 locus in CP6. So so we have CP6, the space of P, and generically it's rank 6, but along some sublocus it is 1.4. The mass energy is 4. Generically it is 6. And here you have a positive ground state energy, and here you may have 0. You have to see that. But anyway, it should localize along rank 4 locus, and this is so-called Parfian Calabial, which I, you know, by Y. Okay. And this is a Calabial map. And to analyze this low energy dynamics, then in the neighborhood of this Y, in the neighborhood of rank 4 locus, I use this Born-Oppenheimer approximation, where the motion along Y is regarded as small, as slow variables, and everything else as fast variables. So I just quantize fast variables in the background of slow variables. The validity has to be checked afterwards, but it turns out it's good. So what is everything else? Everything else is this 7 fundamentals, and SU2 gauge multiplet, and modes of P transfers to this run follow. So there are 3 directions because this is 3 dimensional. This is 1, and the dimension is 3. So there are, and this is 3 dimensional, complex 6 dimensional, so there are 3 transfers. So I will in P1, P2, P3. Okay. Now, phis that acquire mass from this mass matrix, from this P star, right, this is fixed now in, under this approximation, they decouple at low energy, so you just take the massless directions, massless ones only, that massless fundamentals only. So I just rename these phis so that first 3 of them are massless. Then this superpotential for the fast variable is just this. This ij just runs over 1 through 3. Okay. Now this is the SU2 with 3 fundamentals. 3 is 2 plus 1. So this is the case where you can use the infrared description in terms of variables. So in the, for that value of k and n, k is 2 and n is 3, the low energy dynamics is described purely by this baryon field, independent baryon field, and this piece. And by the definition of the fact of the transverseness of delta P, you can even write down the civil potential as just this non-degenerate combination of delta P and B. And this is quadratic civil potential, non-degenerate civil potential. So we know that there exists a unique supersymmetric ground state with a mass gap. So that guarantees us the use of the Born-Oppenheimer approximation, and therefore the true degree of freedom is just the most, the motion along y. So you get the non-minimum sigma along y. So that's the picture you get. So we have a one complex dimensional moduli space because U2 has one U1 center. And for large R, you get nonlinear sigma model on X. This has a sub-manifold in Grassmannian. And for negative R, you get a nonlinear sigma model on Y. The path from Columbia run four vectors. And there are three singularities in the memory. And this looks like a flux transition, but going from X to Y is not obtained by a local operation of some small cycles, but it's like X just shrinks to zero size, and then Y appears. So it's not like a flux transition.
Is there a CFD point, exactly a solid
point? No, I don't know. There could be, but it's not. It's, I don't know. It's not, yeah, visible.
So,
do
you know the singularity structure of the
modular space? Yeah, we know the singularity structure, exact singularity structure of the modular
space. Yes. So, from that you should be able to tell whether there's a solid point.
Why is that?
Well, if you know the structure of monotony.
Yeah, this is just conifold, these are the conifold. Like conifold point, you have conifold monotropy, and this is the standard large volume monotropy.
So the three are conifold?
Yeah, three are conifold type, yes. This is not, of course, not exactly so. I thought what you meant is there's something like a ghetto.
Yeah, no,
there is no such. It's not visible in this description. This is definitely not Kepler time point. This is a large. So we know the character of all these special points. None of them is like Kepler. Oh. So this is not like Glove. So we just named it Glove. It didn't make it to the title, but I don't know if this word stays. We will see. Okay.
How do you know that the volume goes to zero?
Volume? The classical volume goes to zero. Looking at this.
So the classical volume is the Faiolopoulos?
Yeah. It has to go through zero. So this will be, when positive, it definitely defines the size of the Grassmannian, and therefore the size of the hypersphere. When R is negative, this is determines the size of CP6, and therefore the size of R. So it both goes to zero, classical.
And what is the role of the theta
parameter? Oh, the theta bump is just the same, B field.
Yes.
B field in both. Maybe I have no time to explain the within index computation, but let me just conclude by making one comment. So one interesting consequence of this fact, X and Y are on the same Kepler moduli space, is that this category of B-type D-planes on X and Y must be equivalent. And mathematically, the derived category of Green sheaves on X and Y must be equivalent. And this seems to be a surprising fact for mathematicians. They know many examples of this such thing is called derived equivalence, when X and Y, two manifolds, are birationally equivalent. Namely, they are related by some small local operation in some small cycles. But this shows an example where the two manifolds are derived equivalent, even though they are not even birational equivalent. And that seems to be a puzzle, but after, actually one of the group I have pushed them to prove, and they have actually proved. And the other person, Kuznetsov, I don't know where he gets the motivation, but he has his own theory of such derived equivalence and applied to prove this. So this seems to be true.
Who are these people? You don't see.
The first one is Lev Borisov and Andrei Calderaro. Mm-hmm. I talked to Calderaro about this example, and then he was interested, and then he proved Borisov. And Kuznetsov is a Russian mathematician who is an expert in this kind of derived category. And actually, the first group actually used this Kuznetsov theory about duality of this derived category. Yeah, I'm sorry. I spent too much time, and even so, I couldn't get to the computation. But
do you know the properties of this Calabrian homology?
Homologies, yes.
So, what are the numbers? Do you remember?
I don't. I only remember the Betsy number. So, as this shows, the H11 is 1. Okay. And H21, the number of complex structure deformation is, I think, 50. I think. Yeah, 50.
That's zero.
Yes. 10 times 1. Yes. It's small, relatively small.
No questions now, let's thank you.